welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Gianna Shanaeus. This is another episode of the FFC Weekly Roundup, and in this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Reading. We also have some other interesting topics to discuss, as well as Giannis will be sharing his thoughts on the Wickham Cup match. We have much to get through, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Giannis, how you doing?
Hello, everyone. I'm absolutely wonderful. It's Friday afternoon, evening. It's the end of the week, and I'm as happy with as a cat with a bowl of milk.
I'm happy too. Listen, I'm looking forward to this match this weekend, Giannis. Are you?
I am actually. I'm not a fan of Reading. I think they're just damn boring. But this is the battle of the Titan coaches, Stam and Jukanovic. And after the playoff game last year, it's going to be going to be a good game, especially as Reading lost to the Ha-Ha's first league game of the season. So it's a big game for them to try and get back on track as well.
It is. You know, it's funny. This is a little bit of a coaching battle, so this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun match to see both of these coaches go at it and what their strategy is going to be in this match. Will it be similar? Will it be different? I have a funny feeling that it's going to be similar, but we shall see. All right, my friend, before we get to that, we have some other things to discuss. Let's talk about the Wickham victory on Tuesday. I just want to get your thoughts on this and then their next opponent, which is going to be Bristol Rovers at Craven Cottage.
When I was growing up, I mean, the League Cup had a little bit more, it had a little bit more positive stigma attached to it. It isn't anymore. I think it's, when I think of the League Cup, for some reason, I think of Arsene Wenger, you know, putting out reserve teams or kiddie teams. And I think a lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of the top teams have done that. I was really glad that Slava, you know, played a lot of the kids on Tuesday night. You know, away game wasn't going to be an easy game by any means. But I'm fully in favor of it. He gave the chance for Camara to get some more game time. Gave, you know, players like Odoi, Piazon, Woodrow a chance to get some game time. Rodak made his, you know, his debut. Muddle getting some playing time as well. And to all intents and purposes, we played pretty well. It's a decent win. And then we got a second round draw against Bristol Rovers, a home game as well. And I'm hoping that Fulham drop the prices for that game so that we can get a full house in to come out and support the kids. We're one round away from playing some of the big guns. So I think that, there's obviously incentive there to get a victory against the Bristol Rovers side that we really should be able to handle if we put out a similar lineup than we did Tuesday night.
Good stuff there, Giannis. Listen, I was talking to Mike about this last night. He was there, and I asked him this question because one player that actually interests me was Matt O'Reilly, a young kid, gets a chance to start. I thought that was really good. But it wasn't just him. There were some other youngsters like Steven Session, Ryan's brother. Of course, you have Teo Eden. Do you like the strategy to play some of these youngsters in the cup matches?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also a testament to the amount of positive work that's been done by the academy that you've got these, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds in there. Infused with experience. And the good thing about the lineup that Slava put out on Tuesday is if you looked at the bench, very, very strong-looking bench.
Very strong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sessegnon, Johansson, Aite, Norwood, Aluko, and Callas and Button. So you've got very strong lineup there. So it shows that he is semi-taking it seriously because in a game which might be nip and tuck and he needs to bring some fresh faces on or, add an injection of something a little bit different, he will do that. So he is showing some, he's showing some intent there. But I think it's great to play the kids. And it was, to me, it looked like a line. It also smacked of a little bit of an audition as well for a couple of players. Colley Woodrow, you know, would have a chance to really try and shine Piazon. Because, of course, with the game tomorrow and the game, let's not forget, Tuesday night up at Elland Road, he's going to be chopping and changing a little bit. So he's going to want to see if the certain players are ready to come into the lineup. And so they were important games for the experienced players, Madeline and Odoi as well, I'd include in that category.
Okay, very good. Something else to stick out, listening to this match and then watching it back, and I told Mike this the same thing, Marcelo Diallo.
Yeah.
Gentleman Jim must have mentioned him a dozen plus times, Giannis. What did you see when you watched this?
I was a little surprised. He's a better player than I'd heard, and I thought he was pretty dominant. And let's not forget that foreign players come and play the, you know, come play in England. There's a lot of things that they've got to put up with. It's, you know, change of culture, change of nutrition, change of climate, change of opposition, new teammates. You may not speak the language as well. And Jala, I thought, had a very good game, and he may well have given Slough food for thought. Tim Ream obviously is going to, you know, Ream and Callas are going to be his essential twosome. But Jallo's given him a little bit of food for thought. And it wouldn't surprise me if you see him somewhere featured in the game on Tuesday. Not necessarily tomorrow, but certainly up at Elland Road. He did play well. He did surprise me. And that's good, because now that Sigurdsson has gone, I think Ruben Kazan, we're still a little bit short at the back in the middle.
We are.
And, I mean, the transfer window, of course, you know, the end is coming up, and I'm sure that Slava's looking for other reinforcements. But it's good to see that Jello, even though he was against Wickham Wanderers, he looked like a player that could potentially fit in with a little bit more game time.
Listen, it's good that he featured well. And that's the way I look at it, regardless of the opponent.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I've been seeing all these conversations about him on social media, and I watched some of the matches, the preseason matches, and he looked a little awkward, but he looked better here when I watched the replay. So good for him, and let's hope he continues to improve while he's with Fulham.
All right,
Yanis, let's get right into talking about this big match here on Saturday. Let's start with some Fulham news. There was some Fulham news in the presser from Slavica, and it was mentioned in the presser from the head coach that Kevin McDonald could be available tomorrow. I think this is massive. You know, so what would it mean if Kevin McDonald can play tomorrow for Fulham?
It's huge, because I believe we missed him against Norwich. I think things got a little nervy in the second half, and we needed somebody to settle the ball down in the center of the park. And that's where I think it really manifested itself. We taken the lead and we were playing well, and all of a sudden we started to get a little bit edgy and a little bit panicky, and Norwich started playing their way back into the game. And, you know, the substitutions notwithstanding, we desperately missed him in the middle. You know, he's part of the puzzle, the three-piece puzzle in the center of the park. So I think for him to make that statement, I think, and he wasn't included in the 18, you know, up at Wickham. So I think there's reason to assume he will be playing tomorrow, and it'll be slotted straight into the lineup. And we did miss him. So it's a big piece of news against the Reading side that right now are struggling with injuries. I know McShane's coming back from he's coming back from suspension, but they are struggling right now. And their result at Loftus-Road last Saturday would have been very, very disappointing, despite the injuries. They rebounded in the League Cup in the week, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. This is a big game between two of the best teams in the division, and our lads are going to have a point to prove, obviously, after what happened last year. Reading will not want to start the season 0-2. I know it's a 46 game season, but you know, you want to get off to a semi decent start. So it's a big game for them. They're going to want to get something out of it. So it's going to be exciting, because I think the pressure's all on them. And
I totally agree.
McDonald, if he does play, you know, will steady the ship. And it's you know, we play very well away from home. We've got a set style, and I think it's going to serve us well in a game that, you know, as I said, it's the first of two away games in four nights, difficult games. But I think that this is one where all the pressure's on the home team.
I totally agree. And let's just hope that we see him in the starting 11. But like I mentioned, in his presser, Savica did say he could be available. So let's hope that he is available.
Yeah.
All right there, Yanis. Let's now talk about a player that won't be available, and that's Marcus Bettinelli. He was not available for the opener against Norwich City. He will not be available for Reading. Thoughts on David Button being your starting goalkeeper?
Well, Button was man of the match last week. So
I agree. He was. He won it.
Yeah, and he silenced a lot of doubters, and myself as well. I mean, Slava wants a certain type of keeper that can play from the back. And you know, question marks have been, you know, levied against his ball distribution from the back, but he made some great saves last week. And if he's going to carry on playing that like that, then you know, it's that's good, because you're only as good as the strength and depth, let alone the strength and breadth. Betts goes down, obviously we miss him. And the good piece of news for me was the emergence of Rodak on Tuesday night, who I thought had a very good game against. Yeah, he did play well, and he looked really assured, and that's good news. That could be potentially good news in terms of down the line, and when you're looking at potential transfers. But Button will feel heartened by playing well on last Saturday at the Cottage. And we're going to miss Betts, but Button's going to have some confidence. And, if McDonald gets back in the lineup, we should be close to full strength. And that's what we're going to need. I feel confident with a full strength team that we'll go in there and we can get 3 points.
Listen, I am so glad, Giannis, that David Button had a strong match. And like you mentioned, he won man of the match on the poll on FulhamFC.com. Here's my concern, and it involves Reading. Reading pressed us in the first leg really badly at Craven Cottage. They did it at the Medeski as well, but it really showed itself right off the bat. What happens if they press Fulham again at the Medeski? I'm concerned about Button here.
Well, I think looking back at the two legs against Reading, one of the problems I think we ran into, and it's the remedy to the problem. If you've got a team that's going to high press as well as they do, you've really got to make a quicker touching passes. I thought that especially in the first leg at the Cottage, we had a tendency to hold on to the ball too long. And to unlock Reading, you really got to look at one two touch football. You've got to look at trying to work through combinations, finding the middle threesome as quick as you can. You've got to get the wingers peeling off their fullbacks as quickly as they can and looking to combine. And that's what I thought went wrong against Reading in that first leg. We really didn't get that going. We were slightly better in the second leg. But that's what you've got to do. And Slava, to get to his credit, has had 3 months to prepare for this. You know, this isn't too different or too alien to the way a lot of teams try and play against us. They're not trying to beat us. They're trying to stop us. So I'm sure Slava will be working on that. When he talked about our team being ready for tomorrow, that's probably the key thing he's looked at. You know, what happens if they're high press?
Exactly.
And the passing has to be precise. It has to be succinct. It's got to be quick, and the movement really has got to be absolutely critical. And that's why looking at the lineup for tomorrow, I can foresee a couple of changes based on the need for movement wide and the movement up top, and in terms of what we're going to need to try and unlock them. They've got a lot of injuries as well. So this isn't by any means their strongest lineup that we're going to be up against tomorrow. And therefore, you know, they're not going to have all guns blazing. So that, in a sense, is going to help us. But we still have to be able to do what we do best. And I think if we can do that, quicker touching, quicker passing, better movement off the ball, really using the fullbacks to peel off from strikers, the wide players are going to have a big job tomorrow, then I think we're going to find success.
Okay. Very good there, my friend. I'm just a little concerned about David Button with his history.
Yeah,
when teams tend to press, and that's the only reason why I brought it up. But if they do what you just said that they do, and they have a plan here to counteract that, then I'm okay. I just want to see him overcome a situation like this, Giannis.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. All right, my friend, to help us with our preview, I've actually asked Simeon Pickup. He's actually the assistant editor for the Tilehurst End, to answer some questions from me that I sent to him earlier. Unfortunately, just for time and sake, I wasn't able to have him join us. But I found the answers that he sent me very interesting, Giannis. I think they're going to really help us go through this preview of this upcoming match. So Simeon's a great guy. I actually do a podcast with him, the Championship Roundtable, and he was nice enough to answer my questions. So let's start from the beginning. Here's the first question I asked him, and I'll get your thoughts on it. I asked Simeon this. Let's start with last Saturday. What happened in the 2-0 loss for Reading against QPR? I saw an interview with a Yapstam, and he talked about the aggressiveness of QPR early, and that could have been a factor. What are your thoughts on the loss? And here is Simeon's answer. Reading had to put out a severely weakened team due to the squad suffering from about 10 injuries and suspensions, meaning that the starting 11, which faced QPR, was far from the strongest we have. The game itself was pretty disastrous for Reading, and we could very well have lost by far more than 2 goals. In the injury to new signing John Dottie Bodverson and a red card to Thiago Lory added insult to injury. All right, Giannis, they are dealing with injuries. He's going to share me some updates that he's hearing about injuries. But what are your thoughts about their struggles in their opener against QPR?
Well, if I'm being cynical, I'm not gonna have any sympathy for them because all teams have injuries. I mean, you know, fans from every club in the division will just laugh and say, well, you know, that's why you've got a squad, that's why you got depth, that's why you got under 23s. To be fair to QPR, from the reports that I read, QPR came out very, very hard. It's a home game. Holloway would have had them ready, and they fully deserved the win. And you know what? Yep. You know, whether you got injuries, whether you got suspensions, whether you got a hurricane running through the field, or you got fog, we know all about that, the Medeski. Nonetheless, you still play the team that you got. And the first, a good manager will tell you, okay, I'm not going to use excuse. I'm not going to use injuries and suspensions as an excuse. We got kicked off the park. We got beaten by a better side. It was what it was. It is what it is. It's a disappointing loss because on paper with the strongest lineup, they'd probably say, well, this is a mail in 3 points.
Sure.
But listen, it's things haven't a way of evening themselves out. Obviously, something's gone wrong preseason. They've got all these injuries. And, you know, now it's going to be a test of Stam's management and a test of the resources they've got at the club. This is probably the worst game they could play tomorrow, simply because our memories are fresh. We're going to want to go to the Medeski Stadium and make a statement, even though it's only two games in. And meanwhile, the pressure's on them because they dropped 3 points, to a team who, you know, I think most Reading fans would have thought, you know, should be a fairly straightforward 3 points. So, they won't be pressing the panic button yet, and I don't think they would be if they lose to us tomorrow, but it is a big game nonetheless. And but injuries and suspensions are just part and parcel of every day for footy, and they're not going through what anybody else hasn't gone through. We've gone through it ourselves. So you got to deal with, you know, Stam's a good manager. You deal with what you've got, and you take it from there.
Okay, and I'm going to share his injury update with us in just a second. Before we do that, I had some questions for him that involved their transfer window so far because there was a player that's been linked to them from Fulham. So here's this question that I asked Simeon. How have the additions to the squad this summer worked out so far? Also, does the addition of Modu Baro potentially end your pursuit of Sonny Luca? Here's his answer. We haven't seen too much from them so far, but there's little evidence at the moment that they'll become key players capable of taking this team up a level. Vito Minone is a very capable replacement for Ali Al-Habsi, but Pella Clement, John Dadi Bodvarsson, and Modu Baro probably aren't much better than what we already had. Jaap Stam clearly wanted a mobile frontman to add to his squad, and Modu Baro ticks that box. It's likely that Sonny Luca was the ambitious top choice, with Baro the backup option. I'd be surprised if Reading are still after Luca, and that's coming from Simeon, who's the assistant editor for the Tilehurst End. So I wanted to share that with you, Giannis, because I know Fulham supporters are still concerned about this. This is someone that follows Reading, so this is his opinion. What are your thoughts? What I just shared here?
It's probably pretty accurate. I don't think Luca is going anywhere, and I agree with his assessment about the players that are coming not being a lot better than the ones that go out. I'm not so sure about Manone versus Al-Habsi though. Al-Habsi last year we saw him at his absolute worst, and then we saw him at his absolute brilliant best.
Yeah, we did.
Manone, I don't think is quite as consistent as Al-Habsi. So time will tell how that's going to manifest itself. But it goes to show the pressure of being in this division where you've got a club like Middlesbrough come in. And Middlesbrough have made some fantastic signings. And yet they go out and lose their first game of the season. This is a very, very competitive, with the exception of maybe two or three potential teams at the bottom. It's a very, very competitive division. And I was throwing things at my computer screen this morning. We got Twitter talking about the football season starting tomorrow. No, idiots. It started last week. It started last weekend in the championship, lest we forget. There are divisions below. Yeah. And this is such a tough division to get out of. And Reading is not the biggest club. So, I mean, Luca would have been a sexy choice in terms of picking up, but the club's not going to let him go anywhere because they're smart. They know there'll probably be a revolt from fans about it because we've sold a number of players, and you know, we've not really we've not really reinvested apart from camera yet. So, I don't mind their pickups, but I look at that Reading squad, and to me, they're short of goals, and that's
I agree.
I think they managed to do as well as they did last year because they tended to bore teams to death. I don't think there's a lot different this year, but the key, the proof of the pudding is always in terms of the availability of players. And
we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Yeah, losing Bodvarsson is probably a big loss for them, and it's first game in as well. So we'll see how it goes. I'd be curious to see how they come out first 10, 15 minutes tomorrow, depending on that, on the injury update, players they got available.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Okay, I now ask Simeon his thoughts about the injured players. Here it is. Heading into this match, Reading are dealing with several injuries. Can you update us on who is out for the match and the players that are a doubt for Saturday? Here's his answer. Jaapstam keeps his cards close to his chest when it comes to injuries, so it's hard to get solid information about player availability. Despite the return of Stephen Quinn and Thiago Laurie, there could be up to 10 important players out of the squad. Out, Paul McShane, Omar Richards, Callum Harriott. Doubts, Joey Vandenberg, John Dottie Bodvarsson, Roy Behrens, Jordan Orbita, Jan Kermigan, Gareth McCleary, and Tanai Watson. Okay, so that's a decent amount of players that he rules as out. Again, he's making it clear that Jaapstam doesn't really let that information out, but this is his educated guess of what's going on with players out and doubts. So what are your thoughts here, Giannis?
My understanding is that McShane is going to be available through after suspension tomorrow, so that's going to be one body back. But, I mean, again, I'm going to go back to the notion of everybody's got injuries and suspensions. He's got a deep enough squad where he should be able to put a decent lineup out. And but Stam was as a player, for those of us who remember, you know, he was an honest pro, worked hard, who... Sir Alex Ferguson once described as one of the biggest regrets was letting him go. And this notion of keeping cards close to his chest was always classic Sir Alex as a head coach. So that doesn't surprise me. I bet that actually the situation is maybe even a little worse than it's been described. I do know that this is probably a game that Reading will be very, very nervous about. And simply because of the defeat last week. But then... Is Stan going to look at it and say, well, we've got all these injuries, really. We've got nothing to lose anyway. You know, Fulham let one slip against Norwich. But again, you want your best players against the best teams, and they're not going to have that. Stephen Kelly will obviously help them if he's available. But I just don't see where the goals come from. And I think they're going to come in. They could run into trouble tomorrow, because I think if we've got McDonald back in the lineup and we do the job right, it could be a long afternoon for them. And I think with the Reading fans, if they go 20 minutes, half an hour without scoring, I think they're going to start getting on their backs, and they're going to start getting frustrated and nervous and what have you. So it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be an interesting game in terms of the psyche, and see how the Reading fans deal with the fact that, you know, they're dealing with adversity to start the season with the potential of more. And until they get a number of these injured bodies back, they're going to have some issues.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, here's some more information from Simeon. Here's my question to him. Do you think Stam will have a similar strategy against Fulham that we saw in the playoffs? Here's Simeon's answer. Yes, but not quite to the same extent. Reading will certainly need to contain Fulham to prevent them from controlling the game. But I wouldn't expect the game plan to be quite as negative as it was in the playoffs. With that in mind, Stam will probably use the same 3-5-2 that effectively restricted Fulham the last time we met, but he'll be happier for his players to bring the ball out more and pass it around to create opportunities, which we weren't keen on doing in May. That's a very interesting answer from Simeon. And then I'm just going to follow up. I then asked him, where do you see strengths and weaknesses for Reading going into this match? He said, strengths, Reading have some exciting youngsters who will be desperate to stake a claim to a place in the first team. And then he says, Jaapstam's ability to read a game and get his tactics right against tough opposition has got a lot better since his arrival. So Reading should be set up in a way to frustrate Fulham. Weaknesses, though. Reading will miss some of their experienced players. He mentions Paul McShane, Gareth McCleary, and Jan Kermergant are all injured, and Danny Williams, a tough tackling midfielder terrier, is yet to be replaced following his departure to Huddersfield Town. Reading struggled for goals at times last season, will likely find it very tough to create opportunities against Fulham due to injuries and a lack of activity in the transfer market. Reading's front line on Saturday will be weaker than it was in May. That's very interesting, Giannis. What are your thoughts of what I just shared there?
Yeah, it's a pretty negative assessment of things, but it's the truth. They didn't have the biggest squad. And, you know, it's interesting that they slightly adjust the tactics for the game tomorrow because it is a regular season game. And let's be honest, if you're a Reading supporter, do you really want to be going to watch your team playing at the Medeski just trying to stop opposition? You're at home. You want to entertain your fans. You want to be good soccer and try and attack and try and win games and, you know, put smiles on faces, not bore them to tears or want them to go out and buy a bottle of melatonin. And that's what Reading tried to do this in the playoffs. They tried to bore us all to death.
Yeah.
You know, and it's boring. It's boring. It's not entertaining. It's parking bus. It's Mourinho-like. And Reading fans, I mean, we'd go nuts as Fulham fans if our club did that. We'd be pissed off. We'd be like, what are we paying money for? You know, we could have stayed home and had a few beer. So I can sort of see where Stan could be leading if he's got injuries, but there's still an obligation as a home team to try and entertain your fans. And, you know, I hope they try and make a game of it so that it is entertaining, you know. I mean, it's karma that Huddersfield got through, I think, last year. Because Huddersfield are a pretty entertaining team. Even though we thumped them a couple of times, they're a pretty entertaining team to watch. But Reading are boring. They're as dull as dishwater. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's incumbent, really, to at least make an effort for your first home game of the season to try and come out of it. No, it may well play in our hands. I think you owe it to your fans as well. You know, just this ridiculous, boring, you know, 3-5-2 lark. They're also going to have another issue, of course, if Camara plays. Because unlike, you know, putting Chris Martin up front, Camara's going to provide, if he does play tomorrow, different pace. Issues. Yeah, a lot of pace. And with Martin, it's, you know, it's like marking a bag of sand. With Camara, he's you know, he's still getting his feet wet, but he's pretty lively. And he's going to give them a different look, not necessarily a look that they like. So Stam's going to have to coach around that. And it certainly won't be an easy job for him.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right. I then asked Simeon this. If you were Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy against Reading? Here's his answer, which I find interesting. Yeah, so I definitely want your thoughts on this. Be patient and be happy to let Reading have possession rather than trying to control the game for 90 minutes. Let Reading have possession in non-dangerous areas and hit them on the break. If Fulham keep the ball, Reading could retreat in their own third and defend compactly, which is their most comfortable way of dealing with tough opposition. Instead, quick counterattacks and direct play will trouble our defense. Giannis, he knows his team. I understand where he's going, but I know Fulham, and I don't think Fulham's going to do what Simeon's suggesting.
You're absolutely right. I think Reading are more likely to pick up the ball when the whistle goes, take the ball away and run away from the stadium with it, play hide and seek. Yes. Or get on the nearest bus because we're going to force the issue. We're going to look to force the issue
I understand what he's suggesting. It's just not Fulham's attitude. It's just not what they do.
Yeah, we're not negative. We go out and entertain teams. My teams always talk about how well we play and our style of play and our skill level and our pace level and our movement off the ball because we're fun to watch. We're entertaining to watch. It's testament to the level of coaching. It's testament to the technical play of the players, the ability to make quick decisions on and off the ball. That's the way we play. That's why we're such a good team to watch.
Right.
Reading are the antithesis of that. You know, there's the hare and the tortoise, and there's the hare and the dead turtle. We're the hare, but we get there first. The turtle's rotting.
Exactly.
You know, they're boring as hell. So, you know, as I said, running off with the ball isn't such a bad idea. We'll force the issue, and if we get an early goal, and this is going to be, it was always going to be the key in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
Get an early goal and ask questions of them, and then force them to rejig their formation, force them to change their tactics.
If Lukaku scored in that first match, Giannis, early on.
It's game over. It's game over. Yeah, it's game over. That's what it, I mean. Now you're forcing them to do.
I hate to go back to that, but I believe that that's my opinion on that. If he scores there, I think Fulham go on to win that, and then potentially win these two to move on.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's the right way to do it. Reading may not have the horses tomorrow. They may not have the horses, but you know, as a head coach, the team that you put out in the field is a testament to your coaching. It's also, you know, it's the representative of who you are as a coach. And Slava's earned a reputation for an attacking soccer coach, and he's done it, did a brilliant job at Watford, and he's doing a brilliant job here. Stam, this is his first, his first means of getting, feet wet, and he's a fairly small club. He's done an excellent job there. But the level of soccer that, you know, is dull. I mean, it's great if that's what you want to do in terms of getting results. But I think there's something to be said for entertaining the public who pay huge amounts of money for season tickets and, you know, day tickets and jerseys and all this sort of stuff and travel. That the least they should expect, especially for home games, is at least is an entertaining team. So we're going to come and attack tomorrow. We're going to come to try and get 3 points. That's what we're going to try and do.
I agree.
And Reading are just going to have to try and deal with it. And if we go a goal up early, then they're going to have to do something about it. But I don't think they've got the horses to do anything about it.
Okay. I agree with you. I think it comes down to the first goal. If Fulham score that, I think we go on and win it. And that's how key it was at Craven Cottage the last time they played in the playoffs. If we score there, I have a strong feeling we win. But didn't turn out that way, my friend. All right. I have a little bit more information from Simeon. Then we're going to finish off with our own preview. But let's get some more information here. I asked him, what are you predicting for your starting 11? And then your prediction for the match. Here's what Simeon said. Reading will likely revert to a 5-3-2 with wing backs and three in the middle. Vito Minone, Chris Gunter, Thiago Lori, George Evans, Liam Moore, Tyler Blackett, Liam Kelly, Stephen Quinn, Indy Renome Hota, Sam Smith, and Modu Barrow. That is his prediction for starting 11. Here's his prediction for the match. It'll be a tight game with neither side wanting to give too much away. However, Reading's weakened team could be the difference with Fulham coming out 2-1 winners. So, Giannis, Simeon Pickup is predicting a Fulham victory. And before I say anything else and ask your thoughts on that, I just want to thank Simeon for answering my questions. And please do check him out on the Tylehurst End website. He does a great job. And like I mentioned, I do a podcast with him, and he does an excellent job. So thank you, Simeon. All right, Giannis, your thoughts on Simeon's predictions here?
I don't think he's too far from the truth. I think he deserves a Purple Heart just for supporting Reading, to be honest. It can't be easy for him. It can't be. And of course, I mean, we were really upset and frustrated in terms of the Whiteham last year, but I mean, they got a step closer, right? And the big game, they couldn't do it. The lineup that he's talking about tomorrow is still a decent lineup. It is the 5-3-2 formation. Surprise, surprise. The wing backs are only going to be as good as the amount of movement, the number of overlaps and movement off ball. And I'm not really seeing that. But 5-3-2 is still for me negative, even if you're relying on your fullbacks to push forward.
Yep.
It's a decent lineup. It's not their strongest lineup, not by any means, but it's still a decent lineup with a lot of experience. So I don't think Yapstam is going to offer too many excuses if things go wrong tomorrow. But I think if they do play that formation, it plays beautifully in their hands.
I think it does.
Because of the McDonald bat, we can use the triangle in the middle. We've got our own wing backs that can cause them some trouble. And I do like what we do in terms of with players, in terms of strikers. So, I believe we're going to beat them tomorrow. I really do. I do. I think we're just going to we'll be smarting after last Saturday's game, and the lads will have a point to prove. The only question mark now is going to be about if there are going to be any changes compared to last week's lineup.
Okay, very good, Giannis. All right, to finish up the show, we're going to do our own preview. Let's do a little bit like, pardon the interruption, where we do it kind of fast. So I'm going to give you the topics, and let's go right through it. This is an interesting one to start off because we were talking about the coaches here. So I'm going to ask you right off the bat, who has the coaching advantage between Yapstam and Slavisa Jokanović?
I'm going to say Slava because he's got the players available. I think Stam's going to be a top quality manager. I really do. And I think he's going to end up coaching the Premier League. I think he's a savvy manager. He's a clever and he's a young manager too. But for this game, I'd say it's Slava because he's got the horses.
I think Stam is a fine manager, but I think we have the advantage with Slavisa. So I agree with you there, my friend. All right, we've already been talking about the Reading players. Which players concern you the most going into this match?
None of them. None of them. I think because that's not, I don't know. That's the way Reading are set up. I think it's really all about team shape, and that's what caught us into a pickle last year. I don't think there's anybody. I mean, Kermigant, if he was available, is a bit of a Fulham killer, but he's not. But they don't really have anyone I think it can hurt us. It's their team shape, and it's their team foundation that hurts us. Or can hurt us, and they really truly are a good example of a team that's the sum of its parts. And so there's nobody per se that scares me, but it's if they've all got the commitment to play the same way, they're a difficult team to beat, regardless of if they got lots of injuries or not.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, who are your key players for Fulham tomorrow against Reading?
What a great question. I actually think it'll be our wide players. I think Ayite and Aluko. I mean, McDonald, I'm going to assume that McDonald's going to play. But Ayite and Aluko, are going to cause them fits. And they've now got a new target man to work with. And the best thing about Camara, if he plays, is that Camara offers a fluid and a mobile option that Martin just couldn't. And that's important. What if you ask any defender, what don't they like? And that's strikers that run.
Yep.
And strikers that don't stop running. And Camara is getting used to the game. Tomorrow will be a really, really good baptism. First game away from home in a big game. Not talking about Wickham, but a big game. And he's a big, strong lad, and he's going to give them a lot of fits. He's going to need a first goal to get off the snide. But he's shown enough so far, that he can certainly be effective. So... there's a target man for Aluko and Ayite to play into, and that's going to be good, and their pace is going to cause problems for the fullbacks. So I'm going to say Ayite and Aluko.
Okay, the wide men. I'm there with you. I see why you're going with those guys. I'm a big fan of Kevin McDonald. I think he makes a big difference, so he'd be a key player for me as well. All right, Giannis, we've been talking a little bit from what Simeon's shared with me about what could potentially be happening. He thinks it's going to be 5-3-2. We've already talked about the first goal being key for Fulham, but in general, what do Fulham need to do to win this match?
I think win the battle in the middle. I mean, if McDonald is available, you've got MC, Kearney and Johansson, and that's the best threesome in the division. And I think that's going to be... I mean, 5-3-2 is a different formation because now you're relying on the fullbacks to push up. But now, but essentially, there's an opportunity cost. You're not flooding the midfield. So there should be plenty of time and space for the three to work their magic to get the ball out wide. And of course, utilization of the fullbacks making the overlapping runs to help the wide strikers is going to be key. Depending on the fullbacks that he picks, and that's going to be another little interesting side story to tomorrow's lineup. You know, is he going to look at Fredericks and Sessegnon, or does Odoi come in? And that'll be an interesting one. But I think if we win it in the center of the park, and they do play 5-3-2. I think that's playing into our hands.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's go right into starting 11. Give me your starting 11.
Button starts in net. My back four I would start with Odoi left, Fredericks at right, Ream and Callison middle. Odoi had a good game on Tuesday, and that was an absolutely fabulous header.
Fabulous goal.
It really, really was. I think Slav will show some loyalty there. Sessegnon is a very good option to bring off the bench anyway, but I'd start Odoi. If McDonald is fit tomorrow, our mid three will be Kearney, Johansson, and McDonald. Aluko and Ayite wide as the wingers, and up front will be would be Camara. One thing that came out of Tuesday's game for me was I thought it would be a very big game for Corley Woodrow. League Cup game, chance to, you know, maybe get a goal, get some confidence in. But he was named in the U23 squad tonight.
Yeah, he played today.
Yeah, and I think that's that is a very clear signal. And he didn't have a particularly good game on Tuesday night. And I'm a huge Woodruff fan, but his first touch right now is as heavy as a ton of cement.
Giannis, while we're talking about Pauly Woodrow, it's very interesting. I was going to ask you this because Mike was talking about him on the show yesterday, and he was talking about the first touch. And I know you guys disagree on Woodrow, but I think you agree with the issues he's having with his first touch.
Big time. Big time. His first touch wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough Tuesday. Listeners know I'm a huge fan of his, but this was a big game for him because, he needed to put in a solid performance and give Slava something to think about. I mean, Marcelo Gyala did that. He gave Slava some food for thought. And although he may not feature in the 18 tomorrow, Tuesday at Elland Road, I can see him featuring. But for Woodrow, this was an audition to see, with a couple of weeks left in the transfer window. And he didn't measure up. He did not have a good game. And it was unfortunate. It just didn't happen for him. It didn't work. It wasn't going to work. Camara didn't have as great an impact on Tuesday night up at Wickham because he started, but he's only been in the country a couple of weeks. Is there another? I'd start with Camara. I think this is a really good game to get his feet wet. So, okay, this is what the division's about. This is going to be tough. He'll know the history by now. I think that's going to be the line. That's the lineup I'd put out. It's attacking. It's got creativity. It's got a bit of gumption about it as well. We've got a lot of speed and technical ability. I think Odoi deserves a chance at left back. And there's no disrespect to Sessegnon. Remember, he's still a baby. But Odoi had a good game Tuesday. So stick him in. Maybe put Sessegnon up at Elland Road. Give him some fun. And that's the thing. We do have a little bit of depth. So there's some interchangeable parts for Tuesday's game. But that's the lineup I'd have.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. Let's go right to predictions. Before I get your prediction, I put up a poll on the College Talk Twitter page. I had 216 votes. Win, Giannis, 67%. Draw, 27%. Loss was only at 6%. That's a huge disparity. Win and draw compared to loss. It shows a lot of confidence from the Fulham supporters heading into this match. How confident are you? What's your prediction?
I think we win it. I think we win it. I think we win it 2-0. We're catching Reading at a good time. They're a difficult team to play. They're a team that I think it's safe to say we don't enjoy playing because they really do a very good job at not actually trying to play us. It's not like. Wolves. I mean, I'm going to use Wolves as an example, and this is compliment I can play Wolves. One thing I really, really do like about Wolves is Wolves attack. Wolves play footy, and they go out to score goals, and they're a credit. They're a credit to the sport. They really are, and I've got a lot of time for them because they don't go out and bore, the shit out of opponents. I think with this game, something I was thinking about last night is, the temptation, does maybe Cabana start tomorrow? I mean, that would be the most obvious one if you're looking at, does Cabana start maybe Camara? That might be the slight option. I think with Norwood, I think should be able to play the whole game, and I hope so, because we missed something when Norwood went off. I thought Norwood had a very good debut last week. But I just think that we've just got too many horses. I think the change in formation will hurt them. And I think we've just got too much speed and too much skill all over the park for them to stop us. So I don't see anything past a 2-0 win.
Okay, I hope you're right. I'm going to predict a 2-1 Fulham victory. I think we're going to score that first goal, Giannis, and then they're going to score, and then we're going to get the winner in the second half. So I'm going to go with 2-1, but I understand why you're going 2-0. They don't score that many goals. So I definitely understand why you have went with that scoreline. No problem, my friend. All right. Fantastic show, Giannis. Thanks for joining me. Before we go, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are I'm hoping that Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un get their heads out of their bottoms and not try and prevent nuclear war. What a ridiculous situation that is. And you, my friend, Russell, live in the US of A. I don't know what it must be like for you to have to live in a country where you've got all this madness and mayhem going on. But thankfully, we do have footy to look forward to. And there were some strange results last weekend. And our boys got the draw last week, but got a nice little result at Wickham. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. I think it's going to be a good game. And Slava will not need to motivate the lads for this one. He can just say, look, I don't need to say anything. You guys remember what happened in May. You know what needs to be done. We need to prove a point. We can make a statement early on in the season in terms of our intent and where we want to be at the end of the season. Let's go out and make it happen. And we've got the horses to do it. And hey, with a couple more, hopefully, signings in the next week or two, then maybe our future looks even brighter. But I'm positive that we're going to get a result tomorrow.
I hope you're right there, my friend. All right. My final thoughts go back to my friend there, Lee Adams. Lee, it's just about to start. We are recording this about just when he and the other Fulham supporters are about to start this walk, Giannis.
Yes.
The hashtag Fulham to Reading walk is just about to begin. It starts at 7:15 p.m. in the UK. We are just finishing up the show at just about the same time. So, Lee, I want to wish you all the best and the other guys that are going to be walking with you. You're doing it for a very good cause. This is for awareness, and you're doing an excellent job there, my friend. So one more shout out to Lee Adams and everyone doing the Fulham to Reading walk. All right, my friend.
Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Wonderful for a wonderful cause. I wish them all the best. Have a great time, guys. And I hope that you get to Medeski tomorrow. All your hard work has a little bit of a cherry on top with 3 points.
Absolutely there, my friend. And before we go, just want to mention a major thank you to Simeon Pickup. You can actually follow him on Twitter at Bucks Royal, and you can actually read him on the Tilehurst End. He is the assistant editor. Simeon, if you listen back to the show, thank you so much for answering my questions. You were a big help and really made this episode so good with your answers to my questions. So thank you, Simeon. All right, Giannis, it is time to go. For Giannis Chinaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.